Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and the two emails I mentioned yesterday, I did get no responses, which was kind of expected. However, I did get some postcards. Ooh, actually, they were over the last couple of days, but one from Zadok. Please live the last 90 seconds of Black Families Matter video. Your dad is. I may have already said this one, but anyway, there are two others. Two others. This one to Julia. You, Isaac, Charlotte, and James are in my constant prayers, even though I am censored. If you want your dad, as long as I have breath, I'll be there for you. I think it's covered. You know, isn't that interesting? As long as I have breath. That's the line I used yesterday with, quoting, because he had a slightly different version of it from Phuc Thong. And to Mrs. Dorothy Jane Kozlowski, the last minute of yesterday's voicemail might be worth your time. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're a man. Anyway, it's not getting easier. However, because of the cards, and as I've mentioned, I've been working on the navigation for audio, video, and things of that nature in order to work on the navigation for diagnostics. And so one of the things I did is, and I started with Susanna, and I'll probably now add Zadok and Dorothy Jane and Julia now, because when you go to Susanna's, on the family, it's actually family comma Susanna, it has the links. If you go by year, has the links of the images of the refuse cards. Because one of the things I want to do, again, the objective is to be able to convey information to people so they don't, it's the browse rather than search mentality. So when you go to a particular place, other things that are related to it are right there in front of you in order to tie things together. That is the objective, both in the diagnostic tools, the email stuff, the portfolio, and then of course other things. But so I've put that in, be able to play with it in order to say, okay, this is better, and I think it's coming along nicely. And I'm using it, obviously, for the postcards, because one day one of my kids, who has no idea what's going on, might look and find, it's the comment. Well, it goes again to the comment from Robert Hoagland. When my kid is 25 and asks, Dad, where were you? And his response is, I was there fighting as hard as I could. Here's the evidence. So the evidence may not be used today, tomorrow, this year, next year. And of course, there's a whole bunch of techniques to prevent censorship. Censorship in the sense of erasing the data, because it's not simply one location, but easy replication. So if you get rid of this, it's over here. If you get rid of that, it's over here. Because, if I can do this well for myself, I've done it for others who may have other risk factors, including their own lives. But two other things on that. One is, and I'll put the links for that. I've moved some of the stuff that I've had, a lot of it I've had for a long time. And in some cases, I gathered some newer versions or things of that nature from two people, they're now both historic figures, one recent, one long ago, some audio, video, text that I had from them, because I think they say things that are extremely relevant today. One is Smedley Butler. He's late 1800s, early 1900s I think he died in like 1940, if I recall, because I just read that today. But he has the book War is a Racket, which is actually on KozlowskiNet.org now. Plus, there's the LibriVox, which I've used before. This is public domain readings of books, and I've included the reading of his book. It was kind of an experiment because it's by chapter, so I have that kind of navigation in there. Plus, there was a gentleman who apparently, and if it's a poor quality video, but it's now on Kozlowski.org. Apparently, it was arranged for by the Butler family, his posterity, and another gentleman portrayed him to give the speech, and I think did a pretty good job. The video quality is like I say, you know, I pondered going and brightening it up and whatnot, but I didn't. But so that's online, and what he says is so relevant today, it's ridiculous. You know, as some commentators said, you know, because the military-industrial complex is the phrase that we get from Eisenhower in 1960, I think, 59 or 60 when he gave that speech. And obviously, you know, we have the military-industrial complex, the medical-industrial complex, the ministerial-industrial complex, and all sorts of other things. But it was seeded, or at least popularized, by that speech. But a lot of the things that Smedley Butler said, you know, 50 years beforehand, basically the same thing. Because he talks about that he was, you know, that we go to war for the bankers, for the corporate players, and so forth, to make them money. And that we spill the blood of the American soldier for these people's profits. I did, because I've seen it before, and so since it was, there's a image. The gentleman, John Greenman, is the one who reads it on LibriVox. And he has, when he did it, he used an image that I think I saw it somewhere else, but obviously he uses it. Two gentlemen sitting on a park bench, and the one guy, you know, dressed showing wealth, you know, with his cane and overcoat with the fur lining and so forth, top hat and whatnot, and says to the one, he's saying, "The war's over, my boy, forget it." And the other gentleman sitting on there is clearly a soldier with a cap sitting there, and instead of the cane, he has a crutch and only one leg. Kind of reminds me of my friend Gary. Anyway, but of course, he lost it for a different reason. But still, you know, the war's over, my boy. Forget it. What an attitude. And again, Smedley Butler, and I recommend the video. It's I don't remember, 15 minutes or whatever. But he does it really well, really, really well. But the other one, and this one isn't 15 minutes, it's like 2 hours. Carrie Mullis, who conveniently died at the 2020, just as the COVID-19. No, he died in 2019, I think, because I think he died just as COVID-19 started making the news. He's the inventor and got a Nobel Prize for the PCR process. And there are videos online where you see him giving a talk at one time saying the PCR is not a test in the sense that you can use it. It's not a diagnostic tool. And, you know, he said that it's this, the idea of using it to find particular things is stupid. And, of course, that's what we used. But then, of course, now he can't refute it. However, there's this interview with Gary Null, who's also a fairly controversial figure. But the two of them did like a two-hour-long interview. And he basically did the same kind of thing. Very similar to Smedley Butler in this, but in this case, he's talking about the medical community. And that he said, most doctors don't know this process, that process. They have no idea what they're doing. They're pushing pills and they're getting paid for it. He was really hard, not only in the, on the medical community itself, you know, but also so many others. And what's frequently clip and the pharmaceutical industry and so forth, because he said, you know, they make billions. This interview was in the 1996, I think, late 90s. So it's kind of like, you know, it's remarkable. And what has been done is clipped out is where he calls Dr. Fauci a fraud, a liar, egotistical liar, I think is the term he used. That clip has been used. And you can, if you do a search on it, you'll find a bunch of fact-checking sites and says, well, this is taken out of context. No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. Not at all. And I think the issue is he's not calling out Fauci himself. Well, he is specifically, but he's calling out the industry, the medical industrial complex. And so, you know, it's, again, it's a couple hours long. But it's really, you know, Smedley Butler went after what we now know as the military industrial complex, you know, the arms manufacturers, the bankers and so forth that profit off of war. That's where his focus was. And you know, the shipping companies and manufacturing of clothing and whatnot for uniforms and whatnot. Those are the, you know, because that's centralized as opposed to the guy down the street that makes clothes. So that centralization process is making these people wealthy. And so he went after that. What Kerry Mullis does, basically, is the same thing in the medical industry. because again, as I point out, the guy who picks up your trash and the guy handles the septic system does more for your health and longevity than the entire medical community combined. And it's easy to demonstrate. But so those two gentlemen do that. And there's another gentleman who goes after the religious community. And that'd be me. Because it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. It really is. But anyway, so I put that on there again, part of the experiment to say, okay, do I got the navigation and the underlying tools right? Because the important thing is, again, well, you know, take the Kerry Mullis thing. That video is 20 some years old. And being able to relate it to something current and make it easy to find rather than the same. So it's, if someone is browsing through, it's kind of shows up. If you're, you know, you get to that subject matter rather than having to know about it and search for it. Tell me something about, you know, no. It's again, it's the browse versus search mentality that I find it's very important. Same thing true with Smedley Butler. You put it there so he can be found. So if you go, for example, you hear about military-industrial complex, well, then you can get to Eisenhower's speech, which I need to put on too, which I don't have right now. And then relate it to those other two, for example, because you can see that's a consistent idea. Anyway, so doing that. However, you know, I did take a modest hike, just over an hour. I did see my friend Mike. I am concerned because our, you know, his birthday is Sunday. He turns 77. But otherwise, I got a good bit of work done today, and my plan is tomorrow. To arrange tomorrow, it may be tomorrow, it may be Thursday. To have a first dialogue with somebody with a test account. And I'm going to do this in stages. It's here you receive email because I'm trying to get that done right. Then you can send email within this test environment. And then the third stage is you can do the public thing. So I'm going to do it in three stages. I'm going to deal with just a couple people initially, and then broaden it hopefully by maybe this weekend, beginning of next week. But testing starts tomorrow. Because it's time. And, you know, again, one of the things I'm trying to do is, you know, back in 2011, when I still had the woman I love and adore beside me, it was 2011. It may have been into 2012, but, you know, I was working on Shofar Nexus, and said, you know, over a decade ago, how do I make this as a package? Because you as the user, me as the user, I don't want an email program and a program over here to do like RSS feeds or an over here a calendar program or whatnot. So we have a lot of times, you know, well, Outlook, for example. Which is, you know, and there's, anyway, where you have a program, or obviously, you know, if you have a Google account, you do it online, where you have a place where it's all collected together. But the difference is it's collected together in their data set. And the different model within Shofar Nexus, it's not a data set where, you know, multiple users and here's the email stuff. And here's, no, it's this tree structure, and you have a single tree that is the portfolio. This is where I came up with the term portfolio, the idea of the portfolio, you know, kind of folder that closes, and I use the image with a, you know, the clasp on it. So it closes up, locks, it's yours. But it's effectively one container, one, you know, it effectively could be one folder on your on a computer. And that's the model I've been using now for a long time. There's been some refinements because one of the things I wanted to do is add the ability, again, through the distributed idea of saying, okay, I have it, but I want a backup copy. So my backup copy isn't a single place. It's actually broken up into parts and spread all over the place. This is the distributed storage idea. And in doing that, you can lose part here, you can lose part there, but you still get it all back complete without, you know, you lose maybe a source of the data, but you still get it all back, even though you only get 90% of it back, because you, using error correcting techniques, you get it all back. So, you know, that kind of mechanics, because the point behind that is that the person or the, you know, the server that has that part of your data, it's useless to them. You know, it could be completely unencrypted. You know, it is encrypted also, but it, even if it's completely unencrypted, you know, the key is broken or whatnot, it's useless because, you know, it's one bit out of every byte kind of thing. Kind of like, well, it's useless. You know, the objective here is to protect the user. So the user is autonomous. Very important. The user is autonomous. It's his data alone. And the issue comes in is then, you know, especially in my development, I can't help. I can't do anything for somebody. So I have to have this tested and working right and then push it out. And, you know, again, there's the... There's a bunch of techniques. So there is no single player. And this is where I've had the problem. I think I'm gonna use the development test, my Heritage Systems, heritagesystems.com. Give people development emails at that and say just for, you know, the first level of testing for our first test. And try this. And then hopefully I get one or more people to say, okay, I'm going to run a server that also, see, because when you send an email or when you an RSS, you know, you monitor and you know you collect that, or you well, yeah, you, okay, just we'll just do email. It can go to multiple receivers. So I could have receiver A.heritagesystems.com, B.heritage, you know, somebody else's B.heritage. And so somebody sends an email, and the email server that's sending it will say, okay, well, here's three. I'll go to this one, or I'll go to that one. And, oh, that one's not talking right now. I'll go to this one. You know, so it doesn't matter which one gets it, because they're only acting as an intermediary to get it to your account. And what this does, instead of, you know, obviously Gmail works this way because there's a whole bunch of, you know, Gmail receiving servers. And so if it goes to this one, that one, the other, they're spread out all over the world. So same thing. Someone, except the difference is they're not all owned by Google or Alphabet. Alice owns server A, Bob owns server B, and Charles owns server C. They all use Heritage Systems, but the servers themselves belong to different people. So if one of the three disappears, it doesn't matter. You're not dependent on a single corporation or a single individual. And this concept is vital, because we can use the same thing again for phone calls, voice messages, or, you know, actual voice conversations. You know, it's that basic underlying concept. And of course, the distributed data storage. And I need to make this real. Testing starts hopefully tomorrow, the first test. I'm pleased. I could stumble still, but I'm pleased. I'm pleased for that, you know. I'm not pleased for this. But I continue this because of an act of love. Because, well, as was said yesterday, I will continue this job until the last breath of my life. Oh, well, that's Phuc Thong's words. I simply say, I'll do this until my last breath. Or that I'm available to my kids until my last breath. And I'm pursuing my wife for reconciliation. And if possible, reunification. And I'll pursue that till my last breath. My lady, my wife. I'm making progress. Join me. I love you and I want you back.